Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe. Now broadcasting from the Best Yet Studios in Boston, it's NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance, with Fourier, Wiggy, and Keefe on WEEI.
Hour number three of NFL Sunday from our Best Yet studio. It's week six in the NFL. Patriots, of course, already played and got their win. They are 6-0. They are off until a week from tomorrow when they take on the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. So back-to-back primetime games against the New York teams. Not great, necessarily. But
for them.
Not great for them or for the networks that have said games. Could do a little bit better, I suppose. But we're also got our eyes on the London game, which has gone to halftime. Panthers lead the Bucs 17-7. Christian McCaffrey with a couple of touchdowns.
Is Cam Newton going to get his job back?
This Kyle Allen seems pretty good, doesn't he?
I don't think so.
I think Newton and Roethlisberger could both definitely be done. Mason Rudolph
was going to take his job, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. But
Kyle Allen keeps playing good, why not just shut Cam down for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Because he's Cam Newton, he's gonna bitch and complain, and
you don't think he'd just be like another offensive coordinator and help him out?
Aren't they 3-0 under the kid Kyle Allen?
4-0.
No, no, no.
They're throwing a pick yet.
Today would be 4-0. Yeah, because they're 3-2. So, right. Yeah, he's looked good. Anyway, as we mentioned, McCaffrey looks like the MVP of the year. We got Tom E. Kern will join us from NBC Sports Boston at 11:30. Let's just rip through a few of these real quick. Let's go to Mark in Boston. He's got a defensive nickname. What do you got, Mark?
Hello, guys.
Hi.
Okay, they're called the Patriots, right?
That's right.
And back in 1776, the best defense for the Patriots was the Sons of Liberty.
Okay.
That should be the nickname.
Sons of Liberty.
Okay. That nickname sucks.
It's a no for me. Now, they did call the defensive line with the Jets the Sons of Anarchy for a while, which was great because every player, with the exception of Leonard Williams, their last name ended in Son. Remember, they had Richardson and Williamson, like all those guys. That wasn't bad.
You liked it. What if I took the defender, which you like, and put the Defenders of Defense?
No, I don't like defense involved in a defensive nickname. No, I don't think you need it.
So Ryan, our my producer sent me one, said 11 Angry Men, and I was like, okay.
Then it's more. They play more than 11.
Are they all angry?
Well, I mean, yes, they're all assumed to be angry.
Jay's in Myrtle Beach. What do you got, Jay?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey,
I got Degeneration Pass.
No, see, that's the problem. Rich, like,
don't like Patriots or defense in it at all.
Yeah. Great nickname has involved the word for a defense? Has involved the word defense or the name of the team?
Okay.
It doesn't. Dave's in Connecticut. Dave?
Oh, man. Wiggy, you guys, I'm laughing my butt off on the driving. But I got two of them for you that are like Gronk-esque.
Okay.
One of them is the 60-Minute Men.
And for me, but okay.
And the Happy Enders.
Oh my God, Dave! I don't know if we can have that. What
I get it though.
Yeah, sure.
Legion of Boom.
You can't Legion of Boom. Legion.
What about the New York Sack Exchange?
Monsters Unleashed.
I think what we've found out is it's tough.
Hey,
I think what we've decided is it's very difficult to come up with a nickname. It turns out I was making fun of them for boogeymen. Turns out that might be the best thing they have.
Yeah, the whole team's going to have to, kind of adopt it.
But that's the thing. It's like Devin McCourty doesn't like it. So right away, you got one of your captains.
You got to embrace it.
Yeah. And then every time they get a sack, they play this.
Dance. So it doesn't quite mean what you think it means when you hear boogeymen. Oh, no. We're a fun loving
yes.
group. We don't scare people. We have fun. Party in the end zone.
I don't know.
Rich doesn't like anything.
I think we're actually further away from it than when we started.
We were close.
What defense
in
there?
we were around.
I still think Guardians of defense is good.
Matt in Gloucester. Matt. Nope, he panicked. He maybe that's what his was.
Right now, the
Mo's in Quincy.
The
Mo?
Guardian defense is the front runner for me.
Mo.
Yes, nickname for the team: Legion of Belichick.
Oh, D minus.
D minus.
Yeah, we're gonna let you go.
Well, that would be Legion of Boom.
Legion of Belichick.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
There has to be.
What
some...
about the Blue Order? A steal from the Black Order.
Good. Here, let's say here's I'm gonna do it. We'll do it a scientific way.
What about
so
Blue
what
Oyster
Cult?
What do they do well?
They play a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. All right.
They cause a lot of turnovers.
A lot of turnovers. They score. They're very fast.
They get a lot of sacks.
They get sacks.
They get
what about sack lunch?
Okay. Now.
Sack attack.
Sack attack.
Turnover kings.
Turnover kings.
Okay. You don't like kings.
D minus.
You don't like that one. You don't like that one.
They're all.
Nixon Weymouth. Nick.
DOD, Department of Defense.
I thought you were going to say DOA, dead on arrival, because that's the way teams are when they come into fight, bro. They're dead on arrival.
So they're DOAs.
DOAs. DOD, again, but one of the D stands for defense. I'm telling you, that's not the way to do it.
And you don't want
put
defense.
It into a rap song pretty well, because it's all about initials and like just letters.
That's a good point.
So DOA.
You don't
DOD,
want.
I don't. Steve's in Connecticut. Steve?
Hey, how about DOC, Department of Corrections? They're always correcting the mistakes of the offense.
I mean, I hate to sound like I mean, I don't have any good ideas myself, so I feel bad saying these are all terrible, but these are all terrible. None of them are bad.
You know why? You know why? Because we're trying to think of one.
That's it. It has to be organic.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be natural.
You just got to be like, wow, that was like, you know, awesome.
Yeah.
And then a nickname comes up.
Stephen Winthrop, you have a good one.
Well, hey guys, how are you doing today? Well, hopefully, how about the Highway to Hell?
Okay,
Highway to Hell.
Just a straight up an AC/DC song. Yeah, you're right. The 2000 Ravens.
They didn't have one.
Their nickname, as years went on, is the 2000 Ravens.
Yeah,
is what people call them.
The 85 Bears.
Yeah, they didn't have one either.
You just know them by the 85 Bears. That's all that, you know. It's you don't need.
Are we? Is this gonna be the 19 Pats though?
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
They need a name.
I don't think so.
I have a
I'm
feeling
telling
the
you,
are gonna stick.
Yeah.
Boogeyman.
I still like the Guardians of Defense,
okay.
But you don't like that.
I don't love it. John's in
it's
Somerset.
Gonna grow on you. Give it some time,
John.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Wiggy, you were on it. You have...
Was he?
I am.
Yeah, well, on one of them.
Okay.
Masters of Destruction, but do Mod Squad.
Okay.
Mod Squad.
So let's take some, like, 70s... Why don't we give them all, like, you know, 70s cop names where they rule the streets by their own, you know, their own laws, and nobody tells them what to do. They got the whole mass mustache.
Ooh, what about
everything.
Vigilante Justice?
What about Escape from Foxborough?
How about the good, the bad, and the ugly?
You don't like Escape from Foxborough?
Not yet.
No?
I don't like it yet. Kyle's out in Springfield. Kyle?
Hey, how you guys doing? I got two of them for you.
All right.
You can keep it simple and go with the Sack Attack.
Okay.
Or you can kind of bite off the Marvel stuff again and go Suicide Squad.
That's DC, not Marvel.
Yeah. Suicide Squad.
No, I don't like that either.
I like the Suicide Squad. I do. I do. You, I like that one.
For the name
What's
of the defense?
What's the one
defense?
I just said? I had a good one I just said.
Yeah.
It's more fitting than some of the other ones, all the Defenders crap that you guys are spitting out.
What was the one I just said? It was pretty good.
I don't remember them all, Wiggy, I'll be honest.
It didn't stick.
Joe's in
Methuen. Escape from Foxborough.
Joe?
Hey, two things. First of all, Wiggy's a knucklehead. Second thing is, I got a name. Mass Mayhem.
Mass Mayhem?
Mass Mayhem. Like Massachusetts, you know.
Oh, Mass Mayhem.
Oh, so Mass is short for Massachusetts.
D minus.
Get it.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's mix in a non nickname call.
How about the Vineyard Vines?
Matt's in.
Like, Matt, it's deceiving, right? They all show up in like flip flops.
That's true. Yeah, you
like,
wouldn't
you know,
expect much.
You know, pink and blue. You
that's
know,
true.
Shirts.
The walking polos. Defense.
Matt's in Newport. What do you got, Matt?
Well, I do have
a nickname. How about the Defense Royale?
Okay. All right, what's your point on the defense?
You know they put mayonnaise on that, don't they?
I don't know the metric
system.
Could
I please highlight the New England Patriot defense against Washington game?
Go ahead and highlight them.
Hightower tackle for a loss. Winovich sack. Sheldon has a sack causing a third and a mile. Hightower tackle for a loss. Second and one. Then sacks the QB for another 7-yard loss. Hightower again. Big tackle for a loss. Jonathan Jones has a football play. Ajar goes the ball. Collins recovery. McCourty intercepts the ball. Bentley sniffs out a screen for another tackle for a loss. Jamie Collins sacks McCoy for the exclamation point.
Sean McVay.
52 Roberts bats the ball.
Did you write this down, Matt? Are you reading this?
That's like LeBron James after that one game.
Yeah. Why did he go back to the Redskins? What was that about?
I don't know.
I thought his nickname was going to be the worst part of the
Bring me the play-by-play. I want to go through it.
Yeah, I guess so. Jim's in Wakefield. Jim?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey,
I've got
good.
Three for you.
All right.
Okay. First one, they're the best running to be or close to being the best defense ever.
Mm-hmm.
Most impressive, New England's nuclear disaster.
It's a lot.
Okay. What else you got?
Then you got Foxborough's. Foxborough's flying attack,
okay.
And nuclear New England's no fly zone.
No fly zone.
What else you got?
No fly zone. Somebody use.
Yeah,
no
these
fly
are hard.
Zone.
Hey, listen, it's not for everybody. You know, just because you have one, maybe think on it. Maybe think on it first before you call in.
How about slippery when wet?
Ooh, what about the sticky bandits?
What about Donna?
The wet bandits.
Donna the defense.
No, see, no? Again, you're going horror movies on us still. I think
any show that's on TNT or TBS, it's like Wiggy's going to reference the name.
I'm trying to use movie titles.
I think the Sticky Bandits is the best one so far.
Like
so I'm telling
one.
You, Sticky Bandits, because every time there's a chance for a pick, they come up with it. They never let go of a tackle. They are coming around with sacks. It's not as popular as the Wet Bandits from Home Alone 1, but Home Alone 2, they were the Sticky Bandits.
What about the stick-up kids?
Stick-up kids?
Yeah.
Who are they, out there sticking people up?
Yeah, well, they're taking stuff from
them. They are taking stuff up.
I like the Sticky Bandits. That's the leader into the clubhouse.
Yeah. Sticky Bandits?
You know, D-.
No. So seriously.
No, Sticky Bandits.
You know, I like the stick-up kids, though. It's a nice little ring to that. The Sticky Bandits.
How about I got one. Oh, I got a great one. Yeah. Oh, this is a good one. How about the Little Rascals? How about that?
It's hard. Carl is in Springfield. Carl?
Hi, good morning, guys. What about the Blue Crew?
The Blue Crew.
Because it makes all the offenses blue.
Okay. They're sad.
They wear blue. Could they have a color?
They make the offense sad.
They don't have
sad.
A you know,
they
blue.
The ball.
Makes them feel blue.
Do they have enough like of the color thing to you can go the purple people eater or
no? I don't really think they're associated with one color.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
They're
the color
not,
thing would be tough.
They don't have that. Let's go to Jesse in Nantucket. Jesse.
Yeah. How you doing, guys?
Pretty good.
Good. So, yeah, you guys haven't had very good names yet.
We have not.
Yeah. I'm trying.
I feel like it's about to change right now.
That's right. So how about the Beantown Beasts or Boston Beasts?
Let's go to Randy in Connecticut. Randy's up next. Randy?
What about the Route 1 Nightmare?
Hey, how are you?
Getting worse.
Yeah. All right, so I got a couple. How about
save us
first? Belichick's 11.
What's the other one?
11.
The
other one is Deep Blue. Just like the computer. They're smart. They're fast. They're quick.
What?
The Michael Rapaport movie.
What about Deep Blue Sea, which is an underrated shark movie?
D minus.
Jessica Alba.
Nope. Jessica Alba was not. No, that was Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, and LL Cool J.
Oh. No,
Jessica
I don't think Jessica Alba.
You're
was
thinking
in
of
now.
That surfing movie.
You're thinking of.
That's right.
You're thinking of Blue Crush.
Blue Crush.
Blue Crush.
Blue Crush is what you're thinking of.
Well, Blue Crush is good, but they don't use enough blue.
Joe's in Franklin. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. This is very simple. How about the Boston Tea Party?
The Boston Tea Party.
Yeah, we've heard that one. Yeah, we Fournier kind of led this horrible conversation with that.
That's like sexual.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly.
The Tea Party is sexual?
Well,
for some people it might be.
Yeah, I think we might want to stay away from it. And turns out they don't play the games in Boston.
Right.
So I don't like that either.
That's why I said Route 1 Nightmare or Murder on Route 1. Like Murder at 1600.
What happens after Halloween?
What?
What's wrong with Murder on Route 1? You like that one, Christian? Murder on Route 1?
No, I don't think so.
doesn't stick?
Well,
I feel like that's going to stick.
I think it's too violent. There's like a line that you don't want to cross. I feel like we jump ahead of it there. Mark's in Rockport. We've taken too many calls and it's frozen. Oh, here we go. Mark, what do you got?
Nicknames is freezing
hey guys,
the line.
I got a nickname for you.
Yeah, what is it?
Boom Shakalaka!
Okay.
I like the energy.
Okay.
I like the energy.
I feel like Boom Shakalaka is not really the nickname. It's more like the saying.
What you say after a big play.
Right.
And you just kind of scream that like you're an NBA Jam again.
Right.
Yeah.
Boom Shakalaka!
Thank you, sir.
It's like the boogeyman, and then after they make a play.
And then they add that to
they
it.
Add the Boom
That's
shakalaka.
A nice add-on. Jim's in Chicopee. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, it's Tim, but how about this? The Boston Bomb Squad.
I don't like it.
Well, see, yeah.
I don't like
they
it.
They don't play in Boston.
I don't like anything Boston. Mm-hmm. I don't
you know,
like anything Patriots.
I
don't
lay off that part. I think it's
do you like,
anything
New England?
Listen, if that was the case, all the parades would be just in Foxborough. You would have a parade through Foxborough around the Rotary.
They should.
Back right by Dunkin' Donuts.
Up and down Route 1, not bad.
You would be going down up in Boston.
Don't what make about, an illegal U-turn, though.
What about the New England Nightmare?
The New England Nightmare.
Oh, it's
you know, compared to some of these ones that we've
heard.
I don't hate it.
Because it you know, encompasses everything, not just
Boston.
And it is,
let's face it, for the offense, it's a nightmare.
And it's a nightmare when you go up there.
To face them.
And then you could still use
the
boogeyman.
Ooh, I like that. And then each group could have its own thing.
Yes, the linebackers are the boogeyman.
Yes.
The defensive backs could be.
Are the werewolves.
Well, they wouldn't really be.
Well, no, they're the Draculas.
No, you wouldn't. No, no.
And then the guys up front of the Frankenstein.
No, you
and
would
now
have,
you put them together.
No,
nightmare.
The boogeyman would be the Saints, and then you would
the boogeyman are the linebackers.
Yeah, but
so now you need the defensive backs. We're going to call them
the monsters,
the zombies. And
yeah,
then we're gonna,
like the zombies.
Zombies.
Fine. Or the monsters. Or
and then the big fellas up front we'll call, like, the blob.
How about the Monstars?
Ooh, there you Monstars. Go. Stealing that from Space Jam.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, and, movie
yeah,
reference.
You can't do that.
And then the DBs could be like the demons.
The demons.
All right, so you get the boogeymen, monsters, and demons.
So it's all horror-related.
All the New England nightmare.
Glenn is in Roxbury. Hello, Glenn.
I have two. Patriot Strong. What's and.
The second one.
And the Blue Wave.
That's a W.
That's the Seattle. That used to be the Seattle Seahawks old deal.
The Blue Wave was?
Yeah, it was, yes. The speaking from experience.
Like, what about, I've been watching a lot of Breaking Bad recently. What about Blue Meth?
No, I think right now the front runner is definitely the New England Nightmare because you could still keep the boogeyman.
You don't think Sticky Bandits?
I think
no,
Sticky
the New
Bandits,
England Nightmare.
I'm thinking the Sticky Bandits is like, I vote for Sticky Bandits.
Thank you. Sticky Bandits.
I mean, not saying that yours Sticky is bad, Wiggy, but like it just, Sticky Bandits kind of make me laugh
it
a little
chuckles.
Bit.
It chuckles.
You know, and then you know,
and it needs to be like easy to say, right? You need to be like, they're going up against the Sticky Bandits. Or did you guys see the Sticky Bandits this weekend?
Sticky Bandits got another one.
Nightmare on Patriots Place?
No,
no,
no, no.
Nightmare in New England?
Nightmare? No, you just changed the
I know,
words
I'm
on
just,
it.
I flipped
you just
it.
Moved them. That's all you did. Matt's up in New Hampshire. Hello, Matt.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Got a suggestion here. The Chastity Belichicks.
D-.
Yeah, not my favorite. Pete's in Boston. Pete, this is rapid fire. Yeah, what do you got?
How about red, white, and blues?
Red, white, and blues?
Okay.
Let's go to Zaz. Here's a gentleman with a nickname.
Tales from Foxborough?
No. Zaz, what do you have?
I don't like my horror
movie theme. What up, boys? How you doing?
We're What's great.
Up? Listen, Wiggy, I think you're onto something with the New England Nightmares.
Okay.
However, it's not good to have New England in the title.
Thank you,
you know
Zaz.
What I mean?
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
And it would be the New England Nightmares.
Okay.
Plural. I got a couple more because so far these have been horrendous.
Yeah, they're not great, Zaz.
hard S all around. All right, how about this one? Listen, Blue Moon. They put you to sleep. And they let up one touchdown in a blue moon. Hear out the second one, though.
Okay.
I think you'll like this one.
Yeah,
let's see.
I think everybody saves
see,
the second one for
better.
The good one. Yeah.
The second, the blue moon's, it might be a little garbage. It's also a beer. But
right.
Just a jumping off one. I think we had to do something with wolves. I don't want to go wolf pack because that's too WWF, but like, you know, something about wolves. Wolves. They're all wolves out there. All right, they're all hungry.
Zaz, you don't even have an idea there. If you don't have an idea, don't call into a show and just start spitballing. You have all day to figure this out. You call in, you're like, I don't know, something wolves. You guys come up with it. No, you come up with
a nickname. A lot of it sounds good in your head until you spit it out.
He's like Wolf Pack, but not Wolf Pack. Right. Well, what about like just the NWO at this point? Go full wrestling. Just pick a wrestling thing.
New England World Order?
Yeah. Sure.
I like my New England Nightmare.
I know you do. You're fixated on it. It's the problem. Where else are we going here? Jake's in the car. What's up, Jake?
Hey. So we already have the goal line militia. How about that? The goal line militia.
D-.
No, it's
goal line militia.
So they can only be on the goal line?
Right. We needed something to encompass the whole field.
They play defense everywhere.
Not just situational football.
Ian's in the cave. Hello, Ian.
Third down defense.
Ian, what do you have?
The takeaway tribe.
Takeaway tribe. Okay.
Boom shakalaka.
Dan's in Quincy. What's up, Dan?
Not bad, the takeaway tribe.
Dan? All right, it's two.
D minus.
Yeah, no. Randy's in Uxbridge. Randy.
Game, set, match. D heads.
What?
D heads?
You notice when we like it, we'll give you the boom shakalaka. I do like the takeaway tribe, though.
You do?
I like it a little bit.
I mean, something involving turnovers. They're creating a lot of turnovers.
I like the takeaway. Okay.
You know what they also need? They really, if they really want to get this going like the right way, they should come out with their own version of the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Oh, like their own dance.
They
their
do need a dance, maybe.
Okay. But first we need a nickname.
You need a nickname first.
Nickname, then we get a dance.
Then you dance on them.
Then there's a video.
Then you dance on them.
Yeah.
Then a video. Tina's in the car. What's up, Tina?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I've got two good ones.
Okay.
I bet.
You'll get the boom shakalaka if they're good.
So, you remember the old series, the A-Team?
Yep. Of course.
We could name them the D-Team.
Well, that sort of implies they're not a very good team, doesn't it?
But then they're
D-minus.
No, yeah, they're the F-Team.
But then that gets a little sexual. Anytime you just use the letter D, you got to
hold on. That's not even accurate.
No, it's true, though.
I'm with Wiggy on this. No, it's not.
I'm with Wiggy on this one. That's got to be real careful.
You got to be real careful.
Around Boston tea parties.
How about this one?
Yeah. Right.
The Sliver Men.
Boom shakalaka!
The Sliver Men.
What does that even have to do with anything?
I don't know. When.
What is that from?
I wish
what
we could have asked.
Reference.
I wish we could ask.
Why
Tina.
Does that make
that's
sense,
a,
Tina?
That's a.
You're thinking of Slender Man.
Yeah,
Slender Man.
Yeah, he was like a myth, and then like a lot of kids. There's a whole mess. Actually, that's a bad documentary if you want to watch that. But the Sliver Men.
they hard to catch because they sliver around.
Slippery when wet.
I don't know. We're not anywhere close.
Every sexual reference.
It's like, well, anytime you say D, you got to be careful.
I'm with Wiggy on that. All right, we appreciate your.
My mind did not even go there. Wasn't even.
It will now. It will now. We appreciate your participation in all this.
The D team. Horrible.
The F team.
The D team.
The D team. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Are they going to come out in Speedos?
Yeah.
sounds like a stripper group.
All right. That was not all that productive. We're going to talk to Tommy Kern.
The D team to the stage.
Maybe he has a nickname. We'll find out when we come back.
Turn more on NFL Sunday. Right now, with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, it is Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy taking it up until 1 o'clock. We'll be on next Sunday as well, even though the Patriots won't play on back-to-back Sundays. Of course, the Thursday night game, the win over the Giants. They get to 6-0 this Thursday. And then next week, it's against the New York Jets. It does look like it'll be Sam Darnold, though, at least.
Yeah, because they released the kid, what, Luke Falk?
Yeah, so it'll be Sam Darnold in action today and next Monday as well. Let's go to Tom E. Kern, NBC Sports Boston, who is a guest on NFL Sunday all season long. Tom, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Rich?
Doing very well. Thanks for asking. Do you care about the defensive nickname thing at all? Do you think they need a nickname?
I think that one was rushed into the Boogeyman.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I think he could have done better than that. I mean, Boogie, I think, is generally referred to as either as a dance or something that's expelled from the nose.
Sure.
I understand the Boogeyman or a Boogeyman could be under your bed, mm-hmm. and that as well is scary, but I think there are scarier things out there than the Boogeyman.
Yeah, well, we switched it up.
With the economy.
We switched it up, and I think I've found and came up with the ultimate nickname because we're not changing Boogeyman. They like that, the linebacker crew. So
okay.
it's the Nightmare in New England featuring the Boogeyman, the DBs of the Exorcist, and the D-line of the Demons.
Okay.
All right. We're going to need a long sleeve tee to get that all
out. It is wordy for sure, but yeah. Football question, though, for you. One of the topics that we've been kicking around, and it's obviously been a trend throughout the year, is Michael Bennett's role on the defense. The percentage of snaps has gone down each week. What do you see with him, and is there a breaking point for Michael Bennett?
I don't know him well enough to know whether or not there's a breaking point for him in the context of a team. I know that wherever he's been, and he spent most of his time, I think he was with the Bucks first, and he complained about Schiano endlessly.
Yes.
And then he went to Seattle, where the entire team complained about Pete Carroll endlessly. Brief time in Philadelphia, I don't know if he had a chance to complain, but we'll see how that flies here. His brother, Bartellus, you know, dealt all season with kind of an up-and-down role, and I really enjoyed Martellus in terms of, look, there were times he had to be the most interesting man in the room, and that got a little tired, but generally I thought he was a good-hearted guy, and Brady was constantly with him trying to, you'd see him in the locker room immediately after games talking to him about hanging in there, doing what he had to do. I don't know if Michael Bennett will be of the same mind, but I think I see his snaps slipping because Adam Butler and Lawrence Guy and Danny Shelton are just ridiculous inside right now. Ridiculous. Adam Butler's playing at a Pro Bowl level very quietly this season. And if Michael Bennett's not better than the guy, he's not going to play. And it's probably hard for him to get his brain around that.
So isn't that a guy that, you know, everybody's trying to figure out, trade, deals and, who would be involved in it. Would that be a guy that you said, okay, if the Atlanta Falcons fit the profile, Dan Quinn was his old coach,
mm-hmm.
The Patriots needed wide receiver, could you see him being potentially traded in some sort of package?
That's a good – it's definitely worth asking. That team in particular, though, are they going to take on a bigger contract with a 33-year-old guy to give up somebody who's younger? So probably not a good match there, but yeah, you're right. If there's another team around the league – but for somebody to take on a Michael Bennett, they're probably in a contending situation as well. Could it be Philadelphia? Can you extract Aguilar for Bennett? And what do the Patriots, do the contracts, it's not the NBA, but do the contracts match up, the money in, money out? That's a Miguel Benzan from Boston Sports Journal question, probably better asked, and he has done a good job of kind of going over every single player that we mentioned. So if you want to visit his Twitter feed or website, but that's a team you'd almost have to get Bennett to another team that's contending to be willing to take on an older player's money, so you'd want to do it with an NFC team.
Well, one of the other guys I know, I think you might have been on the Twitter conversation, and it looks like they're going to fall behind maybe 27-7 is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the position would be O.J. Howard, a guy that only has 1 year left on his contract after this year. Talk about a athletic tight end that doesn't get used much down in Tampa Bay. Any chance the Patriots maybe look for a guy like him to see if Tampa Bay would be willing to maybe give up, trade him for something?
Yeah, Wiggy, I think, don't be shy about saying it. You were the guy who first started walking around the newsroom in Burlington just trumpeting O.J. Howard, and it makes an unbelievable amount of sense
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that they don't use the tight end very much in that system. Bruce Arians isn't going anywhere as a head coach, so that system's not going to change, and he's not miraculously going to become a player who is used more.
Right.
Plenty of talent. The other matchup that is of note is that Jason Light is a former Patriots executive. He is their GM. He's somebody the Patriots have dealt with in the past. The Patriots have 2 third-round picks in addition to a first and a second. They should get compensatory picks as well for Trent Brown and Trey Flowers in the third round. So they have the artillery. Would you send a third for a guy with an expiring contract for 8 games? I would. At that position, I would, because the Patriots right now, if you rank their needs, tight end stands out above wide receiver because they're not getting anything in the blocking end of things either. For two guys who could block pretty well, you must look at Ryan Izzo and what he's not doing and say, my God, he's destroying any chance of them putting together a running game.
Right. And he's only 24 years old, so he's somebody you could still have for the future. And he's an Alabama guy, so, you know, Nick Saban probably knows about him. And he's a big guy that can run. He's very similar to Gronk's stature, so he could do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he's a very talented player. He's played at a high level in college, and he's played in you know, the Alabama system, Nick Saban, so he knows how to be coached hard and has been coached hard, so it would be a good fit. Certainly, they could do a lot worse. Now, I've said a lot of times that the Patriots have missed the boat on tight end since 2015. The only guy they've drafted out of the 56 tight ends who've been drafted in the league, they took Izzo in the 7th round 2 years ago. So at some point, you have to poop or get off the pot at that position.
Now, Tom, I saw you reacting to or responding to some people on Twitter on Thursday night who were complaining about Sony Michel, and you were pointing out, you know, how poor the offensive line was. And again, there were so many examples of it in the game where the offensive line wasn't getting any push at all. In fact, they were going into the backfield. So on the one hand, you can definitely, you know, sort of make that excuse for Sony Michel. But what does it say when Brandon Bolden is getting goal line carries and Tom Brady is getting so many goal line carries and so many sneak attempts? What does that say? What is how the offense and McDaniels view Sony Michel at this point?
Yeah, he's a bad fit behind he's a guy who likes to be a little bit patient. And it seems to me, as the game went along, I said, he's got to cut the crap with the patience.
You're not Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
And and you're not running behind a line that seems to block like Le'Veon Bell's with DeCastro and Pouncey and all the other guys that they have there. So, as a result, Brandon Bolden is going to run right through somebody's spine to gain yards from the second he gets the ball, and Sony Michel doesn't have that style. So, I don't blame them for going elsewhere. I mean, he is now to the point where I think his patience has turned into uncertainty. He doesn't know where he's going to get hit. Once he gets to that first level and through it, he's fine. I think he's excellent as a downhill runner at the second level. I think he's still a better back than Brandon Bolden, but there are going to be horses for courses, and I think behind this line at this time, Brandon Bolden is probably an advantageous – he's probably got more advantages to him than Michel does. Still think he's a better back. I am not backing off of that. And
well, again, it's you're right on that though. Like based on the situation, I think he'll be there. He'll be there. Bolden will be there for short yards and goal line back. I would assume so. But they're still needed for him. But I was seeing this earlier today, and I don't know how old it was. And was there anything back and forth between you and Bomani Jones about your evaluation of Edelman and his on Jackson?
This morning he responded. It's not that. It's not a real landmark case here, but my buddy Andrew.
It looked like you were a little. You kind of had to, you know.
It's hard to read tone on Twitter.
True, yeah. True. But it was enough where you actually had to respond. So,
well, Andrew Perloff, my buddy from the Dan Patrick Show, said that people try so hard to somehow diminish what Edelman's doing. The guy has get this.
Yep.
He's got 125 catches for 1,132 yards since last season against, I believe it was after the Minnesota game. So in 13 games. The record for 16-game regular season is 143. All he has to do is catch 18 more balls, and he's equaled the record for receptions over a 16-game season set by Marvin Harrison in 02. So this is astounding production. Meanwhile, my buddy McLovin puts out neutral quarterback, neutral team, neutral offense. Again, this is how hard people try to diminish what Edelman's doing.
Yeah.
How many receivers would you take ahead of Edelman? And then we just saw these massive lists of people, Chris Godwin and Keenan Allen and Cooper Kupp and, you know, Brandon Tate and you name it. Every guy you could not nail down was in there. I think I saw friggin' Vincent Brisby. So I said, look, here's his stats. I don't know what you're looking at. I would put Edelman about seventh in the league at the wide receiver position.
Right.
So, you know, the thing that cracks
and returns fire and says, if you want to give him a gold star because he's 33, go ahead. But he's not that good. I take the
Yeah, see, to me, that is
I mean,
it is amazing. It's amazing the lack of respect that this guy gets. And I've seen him run routes, and I've seen guys try to cover him. I've seen DBs, like, lose their head because they can't freaking figure out where he's going to go. And even if they do, they're too slow to react.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be the Patriot situation. It's got to be the fact that he's associated with the Patriots, just like all these other players, even on defense, that don't necessarily get the credit they deserve because of the system and the coach and the team that they're on.
Well, I think some of it's stats, though, too.
Yeah,
you guys think? Because if Edelman had Wes Welker regular season stats combined with his playoff
stats, it wouldn't matter.
I don't know. I mean, because he's never been a Pro Bowler.
But it's very simple. It's the fact that he's a white slot receiver. That's it. And when you look and you compare him to other receivers, that's the reason why he doesn't get it. They're going to be, oh, he's a system guy. He's a slot guy. He's this, he's that. But if you actually look at what he does and the fact that he gets double teamed, we've seen him run a double move against a double team, and he lays out and makes a great catch.
Yep.
If he was a black receiver doing that, he'd be Antonio Brown.
I don't know. I honestly think that you're half right. I don't know how much Pigman has.
It has a lot to do with it. In the world, I'm telling you, in the world of the NFL for players, it's because of what do you think about when you think of the white wide receiver? The slot guy,
scrappy
system.
I think that absolutely has to do with, I believe that nationally Boston is perceived to be a location that is going to trumpet its white heroes, whether it's Bird or, so Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman, there's an overflow of white.
Yeah, but Gronk gets the respect, though.
Gronk does.
Gronk gets the respect.
It's a position thing.
So that happens. So there's that perception that anybody we push forward, we're doing so because they happen to be a Caucasian. My bigger issue with the wide receiver conversation is we talk about wide receiver. It's not even the same position. They're both wide receivers.
Yeah.
But
right.
Slot is a different spot. You can't expect A.J. Green or Julio Jones even to run the inside stuff that Edelman does, and you can't expect Edelman to run past people on the sidelines and make catch radius plays. They're both great, but Edelman's production and his ability to be reliable when – look at DeAndre Hopkins' numbers this year. They're down because he's been doubled. You can't double Edelman because his short area quickness is so good. He's still going to make a 6 or 7 yard catch. Those guys don't run 6 or 7 yard routes.
Right, but
you take him out.
The other thing that Edelman did early in his career, and I don't think he gets enough credit for, is he lined up outside the numbers and ran like a lot of comebacks and ran a lot of those deep end routes that you would look at and go, okay. If you put him out there and he has the ability to run some of those routes, is he running a go route by a guy? No, he's not doing that. And the other thing is he doesn't catch a lot of touchdowns because of the position that he's in that slot.
Right.
And the tight ends that they've had and the ability with their running game, they prefer to bang it in. One interesting thing that you mentioned there about his ability to work outside, as the Patriots have built this team this year and – as they continue to look for a wide receiver, they want to find somebody who's an inside player so that they can get Edelman out of that part of the field. They wanted their Humphreys. They wanted Cole Beasley. They are still looking, hoping that they can find somebody who fills that void. So we talk about A.J. Green or players like that. Edelman, they would prefer Edelman to get to the outside and do his work out there. So when we talk about the players that the Patriots are going to be interested in, they would more like to find almost an Amendola-type player to relieve some of the heat that's on the inside guys. Jacoby Myers doesn't really do it. Maybe N'Keal Harry can be that guy if he comes in. But that's going to ask an awful lot of
him. That's Fourier's guy. Yep. Yeah. Fourier's excited about that.
Well, that's my free agent signing.
Yeah, that's
free
agent acquisition.
Yeah. That's the trade.
Tom, before we let you go, what would you say the percentage chance of a Antonio Brown return would be?
Come on. Give us something good.
Kern hung up as soon as I said that. Bailed. No, seriously.
Did you really D-minus.
I didn't hang up on him. No, he, I don't
he
know. Maybe
yeah, he did hang up.
John, what happened? Did you get a itchy trigger finger back there?
I didn't touch him.
You're like, you didn't want to hear that answer? I was all ears. I was just like, what's the percentage?
We're at about like 5%, right? And we say
if he calls back in, just get the percentage.
Oh, hold on. He's back on the line.
Boom, okay.
shakalaka!
Oh, hey, Tom!
Just want to get the percentage.
It's a boom shakalaka from Tom.
All right, we'll come back. We can take some more of your phone calls. Plus, we'll go around the NFL in week six. And we'll all answer the question about Brown when we come back. But we'll do around the NFL just after noon. This is NFL Sunday going up until 1 o'clock here, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm going to do everything to give back, you know, and if I could ever get back in the game, I got us. So, time out. I'm going to get back to work. Hope you guys having a beautiful day. And you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it.
That's true.
There you go. That's Antonio Brown from his Instagram earlier in the week, or I guess last week now, talking about, hey, they got to pay me. They got to play me. So let's bring Tom E. Kern back in here, NBC Sports Boston, just to answer this final question for you, Tom. Percentage chance that Antonio Brown plays again for the Patriots?
I would say it's in the hands of the NFL. I can't give you a percentage chance, but it's clear to me that the NFL has put him on ice. He's on double secret probation. When they announced that the investigation was going to be ongoing, they put it out there basically that at any time he can be put on the exempt list if our investigation yields that. He's ruined three teams in terms of making them look stupid and costing them money in the last 8 months. And as a result, he hijacked the first 3 weeks of the NFL's 100th season. I feel like he's being quietly blackballed, put on ice, and I don't know if he's going to play for anybody. And to me, that's the interesting aspect of this, is we're talking about Antonio Brown, and we're not noticing the fact that the NFL hasn't even done the rudimentary aspect of interviewing him to make it possible for him to be reinstated. Or signed.
Right, and because he's come out over the weekend, well, I guess it was a report that came out, that he wants to get something figured out in the next couple of weeks, and he's trying to put the pressure on the NFL. He has not even been interviewed by them yet. I think they would just like it to go away, but I wonder if there's anything he can do or anything Rosenhaus can do to sort of force their hand and at least make a decision. Maybe it's one that he doesn't like, but at the very least, they need to make some sort of a decision, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and I don't think that they want to. I think that this is their way of putting him on ice. Now, maybe they've reached out to him and he hasn't cooperated in terms of setting up a time, but I know that he doesn't interview well, as that story recently came out when he went down.
He does not.
To me, that's the story behind the story as to why he is standing against chain link fences, pleading his case to get back in the league, because the league doesn't want him in the league, and it's kind of a very quiet collusion.
Yeah, there it is. All right, it's Tommy Kern from NBC Sports Boston. We will talk to you on Dale and Keefe on Wednesday, and we'll talk to you next Sunday. Thanks. All right, there you go, Tommy Kern. Check him out. NBC Sports Boston, and it's in the hands of the league.
But to make a decision.
To make a decision. But everything that we have seen him, everything that we have like proof that he has done, a lot of dumb stuff. Again, the stuff that's proven.
Right.
Is all dumb,
right?
But not enough to put him on the exempt.
It doesn't warrant an exemplar.
And that's what they should say. They should be like, "Hey, team, if you want to take him, good luck. We're not going to suspend him yet, but there's obviously a chance it could happen with him at any minute."
If you didn't put Tyreek Hill on the exempt list from the audio that you heard of him basically saying, "You know, you should be afraid of me," just an audio period. If you didn't put him on the exempt list, there's no way you could put Antonio Brown on there unless there was a smoking gun that came out and was audio or video or something like that. But clearly, I don't think you have that, and you're basically just looking at her interview, and she probably didn't bring up anything new, his interview, but you can't suspend them, or there's not enough to suspend them or put them on the exempt list, and they need to come out and say that.
First of all, I agree with you. But thinking if I'm in the league office trying to protect myself from all these different situations that can come up, how does it benefit them to come out there and say, yeah, you know, we're good, he's good, anyone can sign him, nothing's going to happen at this point in time?
It doesn't benefit them.
Yeah, it doesn't, so I don't think they're going to.
It actually puts them, makes them vulnerable is what it does.
Well, the only way he has to try to speed this process up himself, meaning he has to basically, you know, have his agent reach out to them and say, we need a timetable. He then needs to go to the NFLPA and have them push to say, we need a timetable to get him back in the league, or at least you have to come out and let us know what you're going to do with him. Or he has to sue the NFL.
Yeah, for how much, Wiggy?
For $1 billion.
Yeah, agreed.
He's got to start as high as he can and say.
Yeah, of course. I gotcha.
And that's what. And now he's going to be like, all right, if you're not going to play me, then not only am I going to hijack this year, I'm going to sue the NFL. I'm going to do a Colin Kaepernick. I'm going to, you know, take it to the Supreme
Court. Did you guys see Kaepernick, by the way, came out? Or was it his
agent?
Yeah, his agent
said
came
no
out.
One's
all the whole long list of stuff about how he just wants to play.
Yep.
Nobody's brought him in.
Yep.
Nobody's done all this
poor,
stuff.
Oh, poor Colin. He just
bad?
Wants to play.
You feel very bad for him?
He's so sad.
Yeah, he's sad. He's having sad.
He's so sad. He's not making any money from Nike in the collusion case.
He's another guy who was blackballed by the NFL.
Let him play.
You don't think the NFL's blackballed him? I mean,
I don't think he's any different than any other guy that had issues. That they did, the league decided he was bad for business.
That's it.
That's my point.
Being bad for business.
So what makes him different?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't think he's any different than any other guy who was held off a team for off the field issues.
Well, what makes him different is he didn't, beat a woman, beat a kid, all this other stuff.
No, I'm not talking about domestic violence. I'm talking about guys.
No, but you said what's prevented other guys from getting teams. In fact, it hasn't prevented some of those guys from getting teams.
You know who he's very similar to?
I don't put him in that same category.
He's very similar to Antonio.
I don't either, but I'm saying the league does. The league actually thinks it's worse, is my point.
He's similar to Antonio Brown. Here's a guy that should be playing. There's not enough information or the reasonable doubt why this guy shouldn't be playing. And Kaepernick's case is even worse because he didn't do anything illegal. He just, decided.
The further removed from football, though, the harder argument there is that he should be playing now. Well, maybe two years ago.
I don't think we're arguing whether or not he should be playing on somebody's
just whether or not a team should work him out?
Work him out, yeah. get him brought to – you don't think he could have been brought to a training camp?
Oh, I did.
An offseason?
I think he could have, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And then, at least if you do that, then you quiet all this noise.
And again, I don't know if it would have made a difference. I think if I was giving him advice, I would have 2 years ago made it very public that I will play for the minimum. I will be a backup. And again, not that he should play for the minimum. I'm just saying, put it all on
them. He should have went the Antonio. He should have went the Antonio Brown route. I want to play in the NFL. Yeah. Whoever will have me, let me know. But that's what he should have done.
That's what I would have done.
See, but Kaepernick only wants to give the illusion that he wants to play. He really doesn't want to play.
He doesn't want to play in the league.
It's bad for business.
Yeah,
and business
true.
Is holding out and making people think that you're being picked on and it's not fair. And if that was the case, then he wouldn't have a Nike deal.
I was going to say that Nike commercial doesn't have the same appeal if he's starting on Sunday.
And it's also easier
if he's playing the Canada or the XFL.
It's also easier for the league to do what they did to what they're doing to Antonio Brown is going, okay, if no one's going to touch him.
Or they're just hoping it goes away.
Yeah, it goes away to the point where he's not our issue. He's not our problem. He's over there.
I'm telling you, if I was a team, though, in the league, and I guess it's a risk and maybe your fan base would have a negative reaction, but I would just put it completely on the league. And if I was one of those contending teams, say you're like a B-plus team.
For Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I would just sign him and be like, all right, your move. Right. Figure it out. We got him. If anybody's got him, we got him. But then there's probably other issues, too, where you're like, well, he tried to fight one of the GMs. He couldn't stay in New England. So there are other
issues. But I'm wondering if he's feeling a little bit, and I don't want to use remorse for the word, maybe regret. I'm wondering if he's feeling like, okay,
I don't think he's ever done that.
Even though I'm the best wide receiver in the game, I'm starting to see that this league is going to move on without me.
I think he already has because he had that one tweet a couple of Sundays ago when we were on about how I'm done with the league and there's too much.
But he was hot. He was hot.
He was hot.
Yeah,
probably didn't mean it.
But
then.
I'm wondering if he realizes now
the error of his ways.
And that's why he's starting to say, listen, hey, he's telling his agent, we need an answer because I want to play. And I know that teams are not going to give me that opportunity because they're worried about what's going to happen with me in the league. Am I going to be on the exempt list or am I going to be suspended? So just give me an answer now, league, so somebody can sign me.
He should have an answer.
So maybe he's feeling a little bit of regret there.
He might be. 617-779-7937 is the number to jump aboard. We'll go around the NFL coming up here in week 6. In our picks, our very popular picks segment, which will come up at the end of the program. This is NFL Sunday, and it's brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance, the right coverage at the right price, Kaplansky.com, and also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.